Welcome to episode 6 of Cage Fire Radio. I am your host, Matthew, coming at you from Florida with my co-host, Caitlin, out of Oregon. How's it going, Caitlin?
Oh, it's going good tonight. What about yourself?
Pretty good week. I'm ready to get Charles on the phone. It's going to be an interesting guy. He's got a heck of a record. Real quick, we want to welcome in a special guest host with us tonight, fellow MMA Madhouse writer, Spencer, coming at you from Ohio. How's it going, Spencer?
Pretty good, guys. How are you?
Pretty good, man. Glad to have you on with us tonight.
It's a pleasure to be on the show.
All right. So just a real quick on Charles Rosa. I met him briefly when I was in Fort Lauderdale at Fight Time 11 back in August. He was making his pro debut there. He went pro with an 18-2 amateur record. He was ranked as the number one amateur in America before going pro. Real quick, because I forgot, and Caitlin's calling me out on it, we want to thank our sponsors, Brawlbase.com, and, of course, we are an MMAMadhouse.com production. I guess I'm not as perfect as I thought. I guess I make a few mistakes, but so,
you know, we're not all perfect. We learn from our mistakes, especially on our first episode.
I'm the closest thing to it, though, so.
Oh, we'll
slowly get to perfection.
Yeah, I mean, at least I remember the intro song. So.
Oh, gosh.
But, yeah.
That's a low
once
blow.
Again, once again, brawlbase.com. They are our number one sponsor, and we thank you for that. And check out MMAMadhouse.com. There's no better place for local MMA. So, real quick, down here in Florida, we have a few events coming up. Check out the FloridaCombatNetwork.com. They do have, for the most part, the most accurate calendar of events for the state of Florida. Caitlin, real quick, you know, where can you find out about the Oregon events?
Well, the upcoming events this week so far, I think, is a dead week. So I haven't seen any events coming up in Oregon here this Saturday. But next Saturday, you've got Fight Night Tsunami in Astoria from Split Decision, and you have STFF Rumble at the Roseland with our sports writer, Devin Ashard, who's going to be in one of those fights. So a lot of Team Madhouse is going to be there to support.
Yeah, absolutely. We hopefully we can get him on with us for a few minutes next week. I believe that's his MMA debut, isn't it?
I believe so. I don't think he's fought before.
Yeah, I'm pretty positive it is. Then real quick, Spencer, what's going on as far as Ohio MMA? Any events coming up within the next week or so?
Within the next week, we got Mansfield Mayhem 13, which is an all-amateur event. That's this Saturday up in Mansfield, Ohio. We also got NAAFS Combat Challenge 22 this Saturday also. And then later on in October, we have the Ohio State BJJ and Submission Grappling Championship, which is on October 6th, which I'll be attending with my lovely girlfriend.
Oh, how sweet.
Of course, representing Team Madhouse.
All right. Well, I believe that we have Charles Rosa in the queue ready to go, so we're going to go ahead and welcome in. Charles, how's it going?
What's up, guys? How's it going, man?
Going great, man. Thanks for getting off of work early so you could be live with us.
Yeah, it was good. You know, I mean, they're cool there. They, you know, sponsored me. I let them know what was going on. So they just told me to give them a shout-out. So, I mean, I got out of there early.
All right. So go ahead real quick. Give a little info into yourself for, you know, the other parts of the country might be listening. I know you're very well-known throughout here in Florida. So just kind of give a little intro about yourself.
Cool. Yeah, my name is Charles Rosa. I'm a right now I'm a professional fighter, but currently before that I was the number one ranked amateur fighter in the country with an 18-2 amateur record. Muay Thai champion in Florida. You know, won a bunch of BJJ stuff. And yeah, I just made my professional debut about 2 weeks ago. I won the first round armbar, and you know, I'm going to be fighting next again, November 2nd. So, you know, been doing a couple of training camps, getting ready for that. So that's pretty much what's going on with me now. I'm also a chef, so I work part-time. So, I mean, I train full-time, but I work 2 days a week now. You know, once I turned professional, I, you know, cut my work hours and just work 2 days a week. And, you know, I graduated from Johnson & Wales Culinary School. And, you know, but now my focus is becoming a world champion in the UFC.
And okay, I'm sorry, lost the words here, but your next fight's November 2nd. Is that's fight time 12, right?
Yeah, that's fight time 12. I think they have an opponent for me. They haven't given me the name. They said they get a guy for me. You know, so they haven't really. Actually, they haven't given me his name yet. But they said they have someone for me, which is a good opponent. They said. And, you know, so I'm just training. Like, I'm not training specifically for an opponent. I'm just trying to get better, like, all around because I still have a lot of work to do on a lot of things. So I'm just training, getting better at everything right now.
All right, awesome. I know you've been traveling. You've been traveling for different trainings, right?
Yeah, that's actually what I've been into now. I mean, it's finally, like, things have really opened up for me since I turned professional. I've been able to, you know, go to a couple of different training camps throughout the country. Just starting after my last fight, I got to go up to Simpsonville, South Carolina, to train with UFC fighter Stephen Wonderboy Thompson. He's a phenomenal striker. They run a karate school up there, believe it or not. And I had the opportunity to train with them and, you know, pick up on some stuff. One of the things I felt like I was lacking a little bit was flexibility and a couple of, like, kicks and stuff like that. And I really wanted to see, you know, like I heard about Wonderboy. You know, there was an interview with GSP, George St. Pierre, who said Wonderboy was the best striker he's ever seen in his life. And I went up there and I was, you know, really interested. I wanted to see if it was for real. So me and my manager, Charles McCarthy, my agent, you know, I'm signed with Alchemist. He's my agent, but he's also my trainer. We went up there and we had the opportunity to stay in the Thompson's house. And they have a beautiful house up there, like a beautiful place. And like I said, we got the opportunity to stay there. And, you know, I got to learn some stand-up from them. Got some rounds in with Wonder Boy and had a great experience there. And then from there, from South Carolina, I actually went to Boston and I was able to train Nasidja Tong, my cousin, and my best friend Rico. Growing up, my friend Rico is a real good amateur fighter. I trained Nasidja Tong with Mark Del Grotti in Boston, and I got to also go train with them up there. So I've been really just being able to go travel around all the country and, you know, just develop my skills and really just feel like I'm living the dream now. Everything's really coming together.
Awesome.
That's always good to hear, man. It's always nice when everything falls together, and it's nice to hear everything's going good for you.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask, how many years exactly have you been training? Or have you been involved in the sport?
It's been exactly 4 years now, so... when I moved down to Florida, I came down here, you know, to switch things up. I wanted to, you know, I ran a little bit of trouble back home, and I came down to Florida to kind of change my life and, you know, situate things. And I never had any boxing training or, like, any type of jiu-jitsu training. I really didn't – I mean, I was a fan of fighting. Like, I always liked to watch it, but I was more like a Kimbo Slice type fan. Like, I didn't know really much about the UFC and MMA. I just liked to fight. So it was actually an interesting thing is I – Yeah, like an interesting thing is that so 4 years ago I was riding my bike and I rode past the gym and I saw people sparring in there, and it happened to be Charles McCarthy, UFC fighter at the time, gym, and I, you know, when I drove across, you know, I came in, signed up, and fell in love with it immediately, you know.
Yeah. Do you want to talk a little bit about what it's like to work with Charles McCarthy?
Yeah, I would love to. Man, Charles McCarthy is. He's an excellent role model for me. He's really the reason I am, like, how I am today, you know? Like, when I came into his gym, like I said, I knew nothing. Like, I was at a point in my life, I didn't really have really much of anything. I didn't have a car. I just had a bicycle and stuff. And when I met him, he's been really a mentor and helped mold me from the ground up. Like, I went into the gym with no experience, and he taught me everything. We spent, like, it's really so much. But like I said, when I first went into a school, he told me, you know, he signed me up, got me into it. He saw that I kept coming back, and he picked up and realized that, you know, there was something in me that I was serious about it. Because he sees a lot of people come to the gym, I'm sure, and say, I want to be a fighter, I want to be this. But after that, he saw me just keep coming every single day and riding my bike to the gym day after day, I think he realized I was serious. And, you know, it was funny because I didn't even know he was a UFC fighter or anything. So when I first went in there, I just went in there just thinking, like, they were just a bunch of dudes, you know. So I remember the first day, actually, UFC fighter Cole Miller was on the bag. He was hitting the punching bag. And I remember I asked Charles McCarthy, I'm like, Charles, can I spar today? And he's like, no, man, you've only been here for a week. We want you to get a little bit more experience. And I kind of just felt like, oh, man, like, that's why I signed up. I want to spar. So, you know, as Charles walked away to the other side of the mat, I asked Cole if he wanted to spar, not knowing he was a UFC fighter. And it's a pretty interesting story. At first he kind of said no and shunned me off. He's like, nah, man. And then I was like, come on, man, I don't have a partner. So I ended up doing like 6 rounds with Cole Miller, and I didn't even know who he was. And like I said, he dropped me a couple times, but I mean, I hung in there with him, and like, that was a defining moment of like me knowing what I wanted to do, like,
yeah,
my career. Right? Like I knew right then, like the next day I found out he was a UFC fighter, and I was like, you know, if that's what it takes to be in the UFC, like, Cole's a tough kid, but I feel like I could get there. And, you know, so Charles gave me the motivation. I trained every day, and they made me wait a year, you know, and he built me the right way, I feel like. He got me 20 amateur fights. Everyone told him to push me to go pro, but he really just, you know, help push me and build me the right way. And clearly everything's worked out good. So, I mean, I'm happy with him, you know?
Yeah.
When you first started training in mixed martial arts, was there any certain aspect of the sport that you just immediately were good at? Was there anything right off the bat that you just took in?
Well, I mean, one of the things, like, right away, I mean, Charles McCarthy is mainly a jiu-jitsu guy. I mean, when I went to the school, they would train everything. They do MMA sparring and stuff like that. But I think right away, the first thing I took a liking to was more the MMA. Like, I hopped right into professional, like, you know, MMA training with UFC fighters from day one. I was up in the mix, you know, putting the gloves on and going with these guys, not knowing too much. But I really feel like it was kind of just like my mental toughness, not giving up, and just like persevering over everything. Just, you know, just keep grinding. But since since Charles McCarthy is a jiu-jitsu expert, I feel like my strength is jiu-jitsu right now, because that's mainly like what I was taught the best. But I also, like I said, I'm a Muay Thai champion in Florida too. So I kind of walked into an MMA school, you know. It wasn't just jiu-jitsu, it wasn't just Muay Thai, it wasn't just boxing, it was everything. So I feel like I really walked into the perfect place at that time, where they were able to like look at me and build me from the bottom up, and they actually had the time to, because Charles just finished his career, so he kind of took me under his wing and created me and made me his project. And, you know, right now this is kind of what he has to show for it. And you know, there's a lot more to come.
MixedMartialArts.com is actually has a fight card for Fight Time 12, and it says there's Michael Scott looks to be your opponent for Fight Time 12. It shows that he's got an 0-1 pro record, and he's 22 out of Texas. So do you know much about him, or is that kind of a new name to you?
Yeah, I think that was the name they mentioned, but like I said, they didn't, like I said, I haven't signed a contract yet, so usually I don't like to say what I'm doing until I sign the official contract. But I think I plan on, they told me they might have that ready for me this week, so I think they did say they had an 0-1 guy from out of town that I was going to fight, so that must be him if it's up there. And like I said, once I sign the contract, I'll know for sure. But yeah, like I said, you know, Charles has done a good job getting my opponent, so I really don't know. You know, like, I'm not the one who picks my opponents. I have Charles McCarthy do that for me. He's my manager, my agent, my coach, and everything. So I just kind of take whoever comes to me.
Awesome. Real quick, what's it like representing American Top Team and learning and training and with those guys?
Man, it's the best thing in the world. It really gives me a lot of confidence when I go into fights, knowing like I've trained with world champions and the best fighters on the planet. And American Top Team is really something special. Like I said, luckily I came right into American Top Team. I didn't come from a different school. I was built from American Top Team from the ground up. You know, I started off American Top Team, Boynton Beach, and kind of, you know, got good enough where they were able to bring me into Coconut Creek with all the, you know, the big names and, you know, put me in the mix. Finally, when Charles thought I was ready, he brought me in, said, you know, and he incorporated me in there. But like I said, it's the best feeling knowing that I'm wrestling, you know, with the best wrestlers in the world. I'm doing jiu-jitsu with all black belts. I'm doing stand-up with the best stand-up guys. Like, when I get into the ring, I have the confidence knowing. I'm like, well, I know this kid's wrestling's not going to be better than, you know, Bubba Jenkins say. I know this guy's stand-up's not going to be better than, you know, like Tiago Alves. I know this guy's jiu-jitsu's not going to be better than Gennadius Gurgel, Tigerello. Like, I know that all those like, different, like, attributes kind of pretty much make me what I am, you know, and like I said, it gives me the confidence in the ring knowing that I've won with the best in the world, and that's what American Top Team's done for me. It gives me the confidence to know I train with the best and I can become the best.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so there's a good article I read today online. It's sunsentinel.com. It's written by a writer named Jason Stromberg. It kind of talks about your youth, kind of growing up and stuff. If you don't mind, I mean, you know, kind of talk a little bit about that and how that's helped build you into the man and the fighter that you are today.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much, like I said, I was saying before, the reason I actually came down to Florida is that, you know, I had a little battle with substance abuse. I had a little problem, you know, with stuff like that. And, you know, growing up, I was always a good kid. I played sports. You know, I was a triathlete, played football, hockey, lacrosse, all the physical sports. But when I was about 16 years old, my older brother, Vincent, you know, he died from an overdose. And then when I was 17, my brother Dominic died from an overdose of drugs. So once that happened, like, really, my life kind of spiraled down, you know, those next three years of my life, like, was just kind of like a downward spiral. And luckily I was able to get to Florida and, you know, change things. And once I got here, like, I really needed a hobby. I mean, and that's when I found MMA. I feel like it really was something that I could grasp on, and it kind of was something that I grabbed and it really saved my life. Like, MMA saved my life from when I grew up, from before, like, all that stuff I went through. Like, a lot of people say, like, man, like, how do you get into that mode, like, before you go out to your fights and stuff? But like I said, I kind of have a little bit of a dark past, you know, from what happened with my older brothers and from what I struggled with growing up. But like I said, I was able to come down here, turn that around. Also, me and my father started a charity to help fight teen substance abuse called Chucky's Fight. So if any of you guys want, you can go to www.chuckysfight.com. And it's a charity that my father started to help educate teens of substance abuse. So what he does is he goes around schools and, you know, different like facilities and middle schools and whatever, and talks to children and educates them. He has like T-shirts and pamphlets to help educate the kids. And it's really a good thing. We're trying to get it worldwide. He's gone all over the country and speaking, but, you know, we're looking to expand upon that. And with me, that's what we're trying to do too, is like, you know, I'm putting it on my shirts and stuff. And hopefully once I get to the next level, that everyone will be able to see it for what it is, because I don't like to use myself as an example, but I would like to see like people who are in that stage in their life where, you know, they're maybe suffering with a problem or something, that they can see what happened with me. 'Cause I was at like the lowest possible point I could be in, and I turned it around, and now I'm a professional athlete. So if I can do it, there's no reason anyone else wouldn't be able to do it. So that's kind of the message I want to bring to these people, you know?
Yeah, that's a great message, man. Going off what you said earlier also with McCarthy, was there anybody else at American Top Team that other than him that kind of took you under their wing?
Yeah, there's there's an endless amount of names, you know, and people, but a couple of the people that stand out is I had a wrestling coach and jiu-jitsu wrestling coach Matt Wells. He was a real inspirational person that helped build me, you know, because when Charles there was a period about for like 6 months to a year where Charles he had his children, so he wasn't in the gym as much. So Matt Welch was teaching the jiu-jitsu classes and stuff, and he really was another person that was like a role model for me and helped, kind of give me advice throughout the game. And then once I got to American Top Team Coconut Creek, Ricardo Laborio is a special person. He's probably one of the most special people I've ever met in my entire life. He's really, really smart guy. He knows like his knowledge of not just the sport, but about like everything is endless. And, that's one of the guys that I feel like has kind of taken me under his wing and helped mold me and become who I need to become, you know, to be in the UFC.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You've talked quite a bit about what you've done in the past 2 years and what's really affected you and who you really became. And now I'd kind of like to shift the focus as to what you would like to become in the next 2 years or what kind of steps you'd like to take internally or in the cage or how you want to be a role model to other people, if you could elaborate on what you'd like to do in the next 2 years.
Yeah, I mean, my goal in the next 2 years is to become a UFC fighter. Right now, I have a 4-fight contract with Fight Time Promotions, and that'll be over in 6 months. But within the next year, I'd say, is I'd like to really build on all my skills because I really feel like I'm at about 30 or 40% of what I possibly could be. Like, I know some people might say that sounds a little out there, but I know my level of jiu-jitsu, how much higher it can get. I know my level of striking, how much higher it can get, wrestling and everything. And I really have a lot of work to do. So what I've been doing is, and Charles McCarthy's been setting me up, with all the best of the best in the world. Like, it started off with Steve Wonderboy Thompson. We went up and to his striking school, and I plan on going back there within the next couple weeks and really developing my striking and trying to make my striking world class. Also, we're gonna bring in some different wrestlers to work with me. So basically, like I said, in the next 2 years, my goal is to build myself up as high as I can possibly be and get myself to a level that I am able to compete in the UFC. Like, when I have my first fight, like, Charles keeps telling me it's going to come quick. He's like, it's going to be a lot sooner than you think. Just keep, you know, and it's kind of like, it's pretty like, I don't know, it feels like it's a little bit of pressure, but that's why I had my entire amateur career. So I know what it's like to be able to take like big fights and short notice and stuff like that. So, like I said, these next 2 years are going to be building myself to be able to become a UFC fighter. And then hopefully within 2.5-3 years, I feel like I could be the world champion as long as I can stay healthy and just keep training hard.
That's great. So you mentioned earlier that, you know, when at one point you basically had nothing but a bicycle, and that's how you were getting around. Now, I read that even as you've built yourself up, you know, you began fighting and started getting into that you continued to ride the bike by choice because you felt that it made you stronger and built up character and stuff in you. So kind of talk about that real quick.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I mean, actually, right before you guys called, I just got back from a bike ride on the thing. I mean, I actually, one of the things is that I noticed is, one thing I did notice, I was smart enough to notice when I first moved down here and started training, I realized how I got good real fast. And I felt like it was because I had like an extra edge that no one else had. I had an extra like burst of motivation from all the stuff that I went through. And, you know, once I started to get like a phone back, I got a car, I got a cell phone, I got all this stuff back. I didn't want to lose that edge. Cause I feel like I have an edge over everybody else that trains, you know, like, what I went through, I feel like, was a blessing in disguise. Like, I wouldn't take it back for anything. I wouldn't say I ever did that first thing or ever, like, tried any of that stuff because it kind of made me who I am today. Well, it did who I am today, and I don't regret any of that. But the thing is I didn't want to lose that edge. So what I would always do is one of the things I knew that I couldn't do that I would always tell myself is that I'm always going to ride my bike where, you know what I'm saying? I'm always going to, I'm going to keep that and I'm not going to, you know, take shortcuts unless. So, I mean, obviously, like, I can't ride my bike to Coconut Creek. It's like an hour away. So I drive there. But usually, you know, if I get a chance, you know, I'll always take my bicycle wherever I can get just to keep me, you know, like remembering where I came from and where I started, not to lose that edge that I feel like I have over everybody else in the world.
Man, that's something. That's something.
Yeah.
What is there any sponsors or people you'd like to thank while we have this second?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that help sponsor me. Like I said, I'd like to thank, you know, Chucky's Fight. I like to thank Cut 432. They're the ones who let me out tonight, able to do this interview. Want to thank K-Junkies, you know, for the articles they do. American Top Team, of course. All the people that sponsored me for my last fight, there's an endless name of them. I just want to thank everybody that's been there to support me since day one. There's endless names of people that I wouldn't even be able to name right now that have contributed from the first day I went to the gym all the way to where I am now. And I just want to thank all those people. They know who they are. So that's it.
That's great. For your fans and for people on, well, all over the United States that would like to find a way to contact you or to hear your story or things like that, do you want to shout out some contact information like your Twitter and Facebook and things like that?
Yeah, you can find me on Charles Rosa MMA, one word, at Twitter. That's my Twitter account. I have Charles Rosa on Facebook. You can pretty much find me on there. I don't know how many Charles Rosas there are, but sure, if you look at the picture, this picture of me. And, you know, right now they're currently building a website, charlesrosa.com. So if you it should be up, I'd say, within 2 weeks. They're in the process of building it now. So maybe check that out in 2 weeks. It should be up. And if you go to YouTube, you can check out all my fights. I think I pretty much have almost all my amateur fights on. So, you know, you can check those out on there as well.
Yeah.
Would
you
like to say the website for the charity again also?
Yeah, ChuckiesFight.com. It's www.ChuckiesFight.com. And please check that out. You know, it's one of the pretty cool things that might get you to want to check it out is one of the things my dad does to fundraise money is every day of the year, and he lives up in New Hampshire, up in the beach, he jumps in the ocean. So even when it's snow and he jumps in the ocean and he gets people to come along and jump in the ocean with him. And in the summer, it doesn't seem like a big thing, but when it's winter and it's snowing out and he's up in the morning and he jumps in the ocean, it draws a crowd. So it's one of the things that he does every day. He jumps in the ocean no matter what the weather, 0 degrees, 100 degrees. So if you want to get a kick out of that, you can probably check out some of the older videos where he's jumping in the snow and stuff. So, and there's also a way to contribute through PayPal. So if you want to donate to the cause, that would be great as well.
All right, awesome. You can check him out at Fight Time 12 in November. Within a couple hours, we usually have our replay up. We will have ChuckiesFight.com linked to our replay for anybody that wants to go check
awesome.
That out. We'll make it easy for you. We want to thank Charles for being on the show with us. Thanks for taking the time to be with us tonight. And like I said, Fight Time 12, you will see him in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Check them out. It's a great promotion. I will be there live, so maybe we can get together for a minute or so after the fight, do a quick piece or something. But either way, Charles Rosa, thanks for being with us tonight, man.
Thanks a lot, guys. You guys are the best. I'll see you at my fight, and look forward to hearing from you. And like I said, thanks a lot.
All right,
man.
Good luck.
Easy.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. So that was a pretty good interview. Guy has a lot to say. That's a stacked record, man. An 18-2 pro record. You don't see that.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. Amateur record. A lot of amateur records you see are you know 5-2, 4-1.
Yeah, definitely. He really took the time to rack up quite a few wins before going pro.
He said that was in a span of how many years?
I believe he said four. So. Like
yeah,
20
four
fights
years.
In the matter of 4 years? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's a tough schedule.
So before we start to wrap up the show, let's shoot back to Spencer. So since he's kind of, you know, he's a special guest with us tonight, and let's just let him give him a few minutes. Go ahead and talk about the Ohio MMA and what's going on up there and what we can expect from you in the future.
Well, first, just want to name off the events that are coming up soon for Ohio. Mansfield Mayhem 13 again. That's this weekend, this Saturday. Main event features Josh Longwood. He's 4-0 versus Corey Ruffsatz, who's 7-4. That's an all-amateur event. Also, the NAAFS Combat Challenge 22, which is Saturday also. The main event features Amber Ignatowski, who's 5-1, versus Rachel Sazoff, I believe. That's an all-amateur event as well. And then I'll be in the house, Pickerington Central High School in Columbus, for the Ohio State BJJ and Submission Grappling Championship. I'll be representing Team Madhouse there. Some great matchups, gi and no gi. This is world-class stuff. Paul Barthelet from Team Chard, who is the 2009 New York Olympic or New York Open bronze medalist. He's taking on Robert Giesler from Relson Gracie Academy, which is here in Columbus. Also, Bruno Omorim versus Tom Feaster. Feaster was also with the Gracie team here in Columbus. And then the no-gi fight, which is what I believe everybody's looking forward to, is Joe Bays versus Josh Soder. Also, Gracie Jiu-Jitsu Soder out of Cincinnati. And Bays is a nice guy submission. He's a BJJ Black Belt 2011 ADCC World Submission Championship competitor. And also 2011 ADCC North American Trials Champion. So it's just some world-class BJJ and grappling here. And then after that, October 26th, jumping forward, the event's not announced yet, but the venue is Bellator 78 here in Ohio. It's going to be in Dayton, Ohio.
Awesome, man. That's great. There's obviously a lot going on in Ohio. I should be at Gator Grappling Summer Open this Saturday morning, actually. I apologize. I forgot about that earlier in the show, but that's actually here close to me in Newport Richey, Florida. It's just a submission grappling tournament. If you want more info on it, go to the FloridaCombatNetwork.com. They have a link to where you can email Gator MMA and find out some info about that. That should be a great tournament here local. This Saturday morning I'll be at. And like I said earlier, check out Florida Combat Network for some other events going on later here at the end of September. If you're looking to go to something throughout in different parts of Florida, you got the fifth Sunshine State BJJ Open in Jacksonville on the 29th. We've got Rumble in the Ancient City September 29th in St. Augustine, Florida. And then October 6th is Championship Fighting Alliance 8 out in Hollywood, Florida, and the Naga, Florida Grappling Tournament, which it does not say where it is, but I believe that is actually in the Lakeland area, if I'm not mistaken. So I'll shoot it to Caitlin. Caitlin, real quick, some events coming up out there or anything you got coming out soon?
Yeah, definitely. As I mentioned earlier, next week we have Rumble at the Roseland. I believe it's 67, and also we have Fight Night Tsunami. And as far as I have coming out, I've started connecting with last week's guest, Charlie Gathers' rival, Tyler Saltzman, and I'm hoping to try and get a story out on him and his point of view before their fight happens in October, so I'm hoping to get that out and get some tension.
Okay. Real quick, we do have next week's guest. He is Sean the Nightmare Hollis out of Tampa, Florida. He recently made his pro debut at Real Fighting Championships 27, which some of our former guests, Gian Herrera and Brad May, both fought at. He's 1-0 as a pro with a beautiful beautiful KO, even though somehow it was ruled TKO. We'll ask him about that, actually, and see what he has to say, because he gave that guy a nice hook, and the dude was out. So I didn't see any technicalness to it. I saw the guy's face hit the mat, and that guy was out cold. So he had a 3-0 AME record before going pro, and he fights out of Banks MMA also. And, of course, Caitlin, you want to go ahead and give our shout-outs to our sponsors?
Oh, definitely. Well, we'd definitely like to thank BrawlBase.com, and BrawlBase is on Twitter, @BrawlBase, and we'd also like to thank MMA Madhouse, and tomorrow night you have MMA Madhouse live radio show at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time. The first hour is Bryant with Brian Hallquist and Lee Main, and the second hour is Open Lines. So it should be a pretty good show, not as good as ours. I'm not going to promise that. But it should be a good show, and you should tune in.
Give the old guy some attention.
Oh, I know.
All right. So, Spencer, thank you for being with us tonight. Thank you for plugging the Ohio MMA scene, which is obviously a pretty stacked scene. You can check him out, MMAMadhouse.com. Spencer Kirksey, check out some of his work. He's frequently doing stuff. He's been on the MMA Madhouse show, and we were definitely glad to have him on here with us tonight. So thanks for being with us, Spencer.
Oh, no problem, man. And since you're shouting out Twitters, follow me at Pablo_L_Diablo. You always got to do that. And get your butts out there and support some local MMA.
Definitely. As always, for Cage Fire Radio, this has been Matthew and Caitlin. We will see you guys next week. Woo!
Time to disperse. Party's over.